185milessouth.com.
Smash that Patreon button.
Miles South, a hardcore punk rock podcast. What's up, everyone? This week on the pod, we are doing a Super 7 for the year, 1987. You know what year it is. It's the year that changed Ben's life when the Breakdown demo came out. Helping out, you know him, you love him. It is the best dressed man on the pod. It is Daniel Sant. What's up, Dan?
I'm just an addict, addicted to music. Maybe it's a habit. I gotta use it.
Also helping out, it is Ben Merlis, a.k.a. Ben Edge, a.k.a. Bedge. What's up, Ben?
What's going on?
And rounding us out, don't call him Cincinnati. It is Clevo. What's up, Clevo?
Yo, what's up with it? Let's start jamming.
Yeah, that's what's up. Someone had to bring it. Okay, 1987. This is a wild year. You know, I thought before that it was kind of one of those anomaly years where it was a dead year, except for like straight edge hardcore. And then like looking at it, there's not even that much straight edge hardcore, but there's a fair amount of great stuff. You know, in the straight edge lane, the Together comp comes out, you got Straight Ahead, right? So like two giant bangers, but no, the Forever comp, not the, wait, what? Am I getting that mixed up? Forever or Together?
Together.
Okay. Right on. I was right the first time, dude, like normal. Anyway, Ben, what's the State of the Union, 1987?
Yeah, this is the year your boy discovered punk. Although I discovered, you know, Ramones, Sex Pistols, Clash, the 70s shit at first, but this was the year. In 87, you have that Youth Crew thing that really starts around 85 with Youth of Today, but it hasn't really reached saturation yet. So like you said, there are surprisingly few Youth Crew records from 87. I made that discovery about a year ago. It was just kind of a shock because you have a lot of stuff in 86, 88, 89. There is a lot of crossover happening though. This might be like the peak crossover year. And by that, I mean like bands that combine hardcore with thrash metal music. So on the faster, thrashy kind of COC tip. And then there's very little coming out of Southern California. This is like the year before Suffer kicks off that whole Epiphat movement. And then you have that next wave of New York hardcore with the moshier sound that really is getting going around 87. And Revelation Records is founded that year, puts out their first 3 7-inches. In DC, you've got the seeds of Revolution Summer, which happened 2 years earlier, kind of coming to fruition because Discord often took like a year to put out a record. So you have a lot of bands who wrote stuff in 85, recorded it in 86, and then finally had records coming out in 87. And it's sort of an odd year in that there are like a handful of records I would consider essential and classic, but there aren't that many good records overall compared to probably every other year in the decade. So it's like, you could think of it as like maybe the worst year of the 80s, but then it's like there are enough great records that it could body, you know, lots of years that have happened probably in the last two decades.
Yeah, I'm having trouble getting down to 7 songs, dude. So it's still pretty banging. You know, if we put this up, I don't know, but there isn't like a plethora, right? There's not like 20 classic records. There's like 10, you know, but there's some bangers. Clevo, what's your take on this year?
It's a huge year for me, actually. I was, you know, 15 years old between my freshman and sophomore years of high school. And this was probably the year that I would have started telling people that I was a punk, you know, as opposed to being like some metal kid that I was like, you know, around 86. The lists are going to be pretty varied because there is some really great straight ahead hardcore. You also have quite a few bands putting out some, I don't want to say bad records, but they're like less good records than their classic records. And you know, you do have the crossover era happening here too. But I think there's a lot of stuff going on there. You know, there's some really good melodic hardcore this year. I think that there's some thrashy stuff. There's, you know, you're going to see some New York hardcore heavy hitters have some really great stuff come out. Like Ben said, Rev is founded this year. You have the Together comp. There's just going to be some weird ass stuff on these lists.
I love it. Dan, State of the Union, 1987.
1987 is going to be one of those things where this might be an extremely competitive Super 7, because while there is great stuff, it's in a smaller pot than we normally are pulling from. This is going to be, in my opinion, pretty competitive. Lots of screaming and crying when everyone else's pick gets taken, you know. Great year for hip hop, though.
Absolutely. Alrighty, Dan, tell the rules of the Super 7 and the order.
The rules are: person one chooses a song. Person two is then able to choose another song by that band or another song entirely from a different band. And it goes around until all four of us have seven song playlists/mixtapes. And then later in the week, the beautiful 185 fans, listeners, haters, whatever they want to be identified as, then get to vote on whose mixtape is the best. And it's going to be myself, then Zach, then Ben, then Clevo, picking in that order this time.
Dude, I was trying to change my password on Craigslist because I'm trying to sell this table, and I've never had a site get so aggressive with wanting a complicated password. Like, come on, Craigslist, what's up? Anyway, I digress. Daniel, what is the greatest song of 1987?
Well, this is where, because on such a year where things are going to be strategic, I just don't know where to go to solidify the picks that I want. I'm going to have to probably start it out this way, even though maybe I would have chose something else first. I'm not sure where to go, because I've got three murderers coming up behind me, and it just seems like I'm going to get screwed either way. So, you know, why don't I just jump on this and go? I mean, my main man Clevo already said a couple of lines from it, but I'm going Intro Bust, It's Your Choice, Warzone from DFTS, DFTS. It's irrefutable that this is great, unbelievable hardcore. The It's Your Choice song has so much swagger, so much bounce, so much charisma. But the skit and the Intro Bust music is just, it's Mount Rushmore. Mount Rushmore, like, quality of, like, putting it up there against anything else in hardcore. It's so fun. It's so groovy. It's so hard. And it is just so necessary to be in everyone's lexicon. So that's my choice for number one.
Yeah, I mean, realistically, you had two choices, or you were going to get kicked out of the pod. And you had to choose this, or you had to choose Clobbering Time, right? Like, yeah. We could not start off the 1987 Super 7 without one of those two intros. Like, 87 gave us two of the best hardcore intros of all time, right? Rise and Fall, probably the greatest ever. You know, it comes next year, or in 89?
It comes next year, I think. I like the two in 87 better.
Dude, Rise and Fall intro is the GOAT. But anyway, this rips. Recording 87, dude. So 87, the greatest year of the intro. What's up? The intro, obviously, it just shows so much personality in Warzone. And then It's Your Choice. That, like, going, it's your choice, your choice, your choice, your choice, it's your choice. So much flavor. right? So much flavor, so much personality. It's bouncing off the wax. It's bouncing off the Spotify's. You got to love it. This is one of the albums. If you don't like it, you don't like hardcore. Sorry, dog. And whoever's swilling their drink, it's not me. So don't blame me, people, because that's been happening lately. Clevo, what's your take on this?
I mean, we've talked about this record on the pod before, but yeah, this probably was going to be my first choice. I probably was just gonna, I wasn't going to do the Dan and just try to take as many songs as possible with one pick. I was just going to go with the skit and the intro. I think that's that's just where it's at. That's where it starts. The skit is classic. The intro is just so hard. You just want to mosh. And you know, I'm sure we'll be talking about this record a little bit more throughout this evening. But great pick, great record. You know, you had two Warzone records to pick from this year. But this is, you know, the LP, the 7-inch definitely has its moments, but the LP is where it's at.
So well, Dan's back to his old gimmick, huh? Of being egregious and taking two songs. So I respect
three songs,
it.
A skit, an intro, and a song.
That's true. That's true. I respect it though, dude. It's like Hulk Hogan going back to Red and Yellow in like 99. So respect Dan on that choice. And Ben, you got anything on this, or can I move on to my best song of 87?
This is the best Warzone record. This is the Warzone record that contains every Warzone song I would consider great. Thankfully, Dan didn't pick either of the two songs he picked aren't the ones that I think are great, so, but they're all on here. So I'd say for any Warzone fan, this is where you start. This is where it should start for you.
Yeah, I 100% agree this is where you should start, but I 100% disagree that this is like the only great album, because that split with Cause for Alarm in the 90s, those four Warzone songs, including Skinhead Warrior Girl, are four. Okay. 9 out of 10 or 10 out of 10 songs. Those, that side of that split is near perfect hardcore. I absolutely love it. Okay. Best song of 1987 is the band Verbal Assault, the song Trial. And this is maybe the most underrated band and album of all time. So everyone check it out. There's no reason. Ben, I'm sure Ben will pontificate on this a little bit. I think we talked about it before. Maybe this wasn't in press like when it was crucial to be impressed in the 90s and the early 2000s. I bought it on vinyl. It was kind of easy to find then. Like, it was a $20 record forever, and there were a lot of them made, I think. So I was able to have it and then, you know, record it from vinyl to tape, and I've listened to it so many times in my life. It is a perfect hardcore album. Like, every single song is perfect. The only thing that would make it a 9.5 out of a 10 is the very, very last song. I don't think it needed to go back to like that intro riff again and start on the verse again, but whatever, dude. If you're nitpicking like the final minute of an LP, you know it's a banger. So, but yeah, this is back on Spotify and it's been repressed. So there's a repress that's able for everyone to get. So no excuses, people. It's time to get into Verbal Assault. I'm taking the first song off the album. And also like first 1987.
Song.
What's that?
First song off of side two.
No. First song Trial? Off side. Yeah, right?
No.
What am I tripping?
Yeah, Trial, the piano starts side two.
Yeah, but the piano is the You Are Scared song.
Oh, shit.
Right?
Clevo's yeah, on Trial. Right.
Yeah, it's Trial.
And Clevo's found guilty.
I am.
Yeah, but anyway, this is sick. Everyone, it's out there now, so check it out. Ben, what's your take?
You stole my fucking pick. This is the best hardcore song of 1987, for sure. No question about it. This is like, the way I describe Verbal Assault is like, what would happen if Minor Threat never broke up, they continued to evolve in a good way, and they stayed a hardcore band? They would sound like Verbal Assault. This is like top tier, A-plus level hardcore, and it's like introspective, and it sounds massive. It's just the biggest sounding recording, lots of digital delay and chorus and all that good shit. It's like Dag Nasty plus. It's my old band Fields of Fire used to cover this song. There's a part in the song where the singer Chris Jones yells for continuously for 15 seconds straight, which is very hard to do. It reminds me of that scene in Three Amigos where we are the three, you know, for like 20 seconds. Amigos! Like, I always think about that when I would sing this and almost run out of breath. It's just, you fucking stole my pick. Fuck you. That's all.
No, fuck you, man. And fuck your 80s hot takes, man. Okay. That is, Clevo, you have anything on this?
I do. One, it's not the best song on the record. Two, Verbal Assault is playing shows now. I don't know how they do it, but Pete, despite looking like a miniature version of Bernie Sanders, still has the exact same guitar tone. And they, if you like this record and you like Verbal Assault, go see them because they sound almost exactly like the record when they're on stage. They're great. They're playing shows again. They played a couple shows in like February this year in like Rhode Island and New York. They're actually playing with Soulside around the Northeast. So I don't know if they're coming out to California for that, but if you get a chance, definitely go see them. They are as good as they sound on this record, and we're probably going to talk about them a little bit later.
Yeah, I saw that they were like on a tour and they were playing like random spots, not even like, hey, they're in Philly. Oh, they're in New York City. Hey, it was like, check it out, dude. Verbal Assault's in Janesville, Wisconsin.
They were playing, they played like Chicago, a couple other places, and I think they finished that run in Cleveland, actually. But yeah, they fucking bring it. Chris Jones's voice still sounds perfect. They're not exciting to watch on stage. I will tell you, they don't really move. I mean, they're old, but they sound perfect on stage. The voice sounds great. Pete's guitar tone is perfect. And he just bangs out these riffs, and it's pretty crazy that they, you know, as a four piece, they sound great live with, because Pete does, you know, have the riffs that he plays, and it's just they're great. I'm so glad, because it's one of the bands that I never got to see in the 80s, and I'm just so glad that I got a chance to see them, even if it was like a reunion like 35 years later.
That's so sick. Well, I hope they come to California, and that's that. Dan, do you have a take on this, or can we go to Ben for the second best hardcore song of 87?
I've just want to know what crime against himself he did. You know, the lyrics are very like, the verdict was passed. The mirror said I'm guilty. I want to know what he did, but great song. Great pick.
Hell yeah. Ben, what's the second best song, 87?
The second best Verbal Assault song of 87 would be Running, which is the third track on the Trial LP. It's a mid-tempo song that begins with this incredible guitar riff, compliments of Pete Kramiak. Just the fucking best guitar tone in hardcore, and one of the most memorable riffs, in my opinion. When I joined the band that became Bad Reaction in 2002, I showed up with two songs, one of which was completely a lift of it was like my version of Running by Verbal Assault. It's like kind of like you can tell like these guys grew up on hard rock music like most 80s kids, and then they applied that to hardcore in a non-cheesy way. And the other thing I'd say about Verbal Assault is it's like you listen to like Youth of Today, and they have lyrics like, if the earth was flat, I'd grind the edge. X on my hand, I'll take the pledge. Like things that like might not age well when you're 44 years old and you're like, you know, looking at kind of adolescent lyrics. And these dudes were very, very young. I think they all graduated high school somewhere around 86, so they're like still probably like 19 when they did this record, but it's so mature and not in a boring way either. It's just like, this is like a perfect example of like intelligent, mature hardcore music. And I love this. Here's one lyric I love from this song. He says, to be frightened by tradition is a cheap excuse. I realize I sympathize, but we can't live with those lies. It's like doing things just because society tells you to. I mean, kind of a standard hardcore punk trope to have lyrics about that, but just so well put. So that's my pick.
Dude, this whole album slays. Everyone, if you haven't checked it out, check it out. You got to. Yeah, it's just worth it. The whole thing. It's one of my favorite records to drive to also. Like, it's nice. It's relatively, like, long, but it never loses me. And, yeah, dude, it's the shit. Okay, Clevo, let's go to you for your number one pick.
So I'm actually not going to take my Verbal Assault pick since we just had two in a row. But Running, I think Running is the top track on this record. That opening riff is just like,
Gia.
It's like so good. But, and I'm going to do the non-Spotify curse, but I'm going to say, everyone, everywhere, tear this place down. This one's called Straight Ahead. Straight Ahead, self-titled, title track of the 12-inch EP. I don't know what, you know, if you like New York hardcore and don't know about this, unfortunately, you know, not being on Spotify, but, you know, it is relatively available. I don't know why Craig hasn't reissued it, but, you know, in, just like, you know, you have, you know, ex members of Youth of Today, you know, Tommy Carroll on vocals, Craig on bass, Armand on drums, and Rob, who was in Straight Ahead and Rest in Pieces and went on to be in Biohazard. You know, it's a little bit of a proto New York hardcore supergroup, but, you know, this song, and as short as it is, pretty much has everything, you know, anthemic lyrics, and just, you know, it just really hits you. Those drums kick in. You know, Sick of It All covered this for a long time. They used to put this into their set, and you know, people would just go off. I don't know. It's a great fucking song. It's a hardcore anthem. If this doesn't move you, then you don't like hardcore.
Agreed, dude. This is a perfect hardcore song. You know, it's like a blueprint. It's so perfect. Dan, what's your take on this?
Well, one of my picks is taken, but that's to be known. Like I said, there's going to be a few where people are saying, ah, shit, you stole my pick. But I think, you know, this is not poser alert or anything because they were playing it in the mid to late 90s. But I heard, because this wasn't around, I heard the Sick of It All cover of this before this, and it led me to discover this band. And I love the way Sick of It All played it. Like, Lou's voice on it is awesome, but the grittiness of this from the Breakaway EP is just so good. And it's that transition into the break, but also kind of like the sing along part, like the way I live, like. That is euphoric. Like, that is just, it makes it so much, like, have so much more of a harder impact because it's coming out of the scissor beat, like, ba 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 part, and then it breaks to that just on a dime. It's, like, so fucking good. Like, I'm hearing it rattle around my head right now, and I'm like, Reggie, look out, I'm about to do a couch dive. I fucking love it. Great pick. Bummed it's not on the list.
How did Tommy Carroll do the vocals for this? Because none of the other Straight Ahead stuff, his vocals sound anywhere near this. It's just like lightning in a bottle with how great his voice sounds on this recording.
Right, who knows? That's a good point. You know, I just want to point out this record is 6 minutes and 28 seconds. And it's six or seven songs, I think. It bangs, dude. It is so good. And if you want to hear a boy sing the song, got to go to YouTube. That's because that's where you got to listen to Straight Ahead these days if you don't got the record. I think I got a bootleg, but Retaliate covered this, so nice. What's up, dude? Yeah. Check that video. It's got 16 views. Let's get it up to 25, people.
Also, shout out for getting the name of the band as the gang vocal into the song. Whenever you can do that, you've been successful.
Agreed.
I wouldn't know anything about that.
Agreed. Yeah, good point. Ben, you got a take on this?
Yeah, I think about like what are the most classic hardcore records that have never been reissued or repressed? I'd say the first two SSD records, which is getting rectified probably next year from Trust. They're going to reissue. Kids will have their say, Get It Away. And then those Necros records that were on Touch and Go. And then this. Like, it's amazing how many people are into this record, and yet it's still never been reissued since 1987. So there's got to be a story behind that.
The SSD stuff was reissued, but in the worst way possible, right? Because all the songs were on that Power CD.
Yeah, but it doesn't. The Power CD only has 2/3 of the Kids Will Have Their Say LP on it.
Oh, you're right.
It has all of Get It Away, but it's out of order.
Correct.
Right. That's right. Yeah, you had to mix it down to your own tape, which is like, thanks, Tang. You know, like this idea is as good as your album covers. So, but yeah, it's a crime against humanity. This album isn't available to the public. This and the Reason to Believe discography.
Oh yeah, and that too, of course.
Right. Yeah, I thought you were going chronologically, Ben. So it would have come next. And I thought, you know, you just got distracted. So anyway, okay, let's go on to Dan. Dan, second best song in your opinion of the year. 1987.
My second best just got taken. Actually, if it had come through and I had Straight Ahead and this song that I'm about to take on the table, I don't know. Clevo like helped me because my brain might have just malfunctioned. I am going Sick People Breakdown. Now, I really could go Labeled by Breakdown because I fucking love that song so much, but Sick People is just so ill. Like, ill is the most perfect term for it, right? It's just, it's angry, it's Neanderthal, it's grumbly, it's just ill, you know? And we talk, you know, sometimes on the pod about this is ground zero for what we're still feeling reverberations from. This is taking hardcore harder. This is what chain belts and construction gloves, etc., are made for, this demo, you know. Breakdown is a thing unto itself. They damn near steal the show on the way it is, side by sides on it, so they don't. But Sick People by Breakdown is the song that, like, everyone needed to know more about this band from. So that's my pick.
Low key, great lyrics too. I mean, like, think about it. Like, this is pretty poetic, dude. I'm just grabbing for something to hold me up. World disintegrating around me. Like, dude, to kick a song off like that, that's poetry, man. Cleva, what's your take on this?
I mean, I hate to call it ignorant mosh because the lyrics are so good, but like, this is this the, like, the original ignorant mosh record? Like, well, demo, but like, it really, it kind of all the things that you say about Straight Ahead, you say about this, except it doesn't, you know, it doesn't have the fast parts, but like, this is like mid tempo, just sort of everything what you want in a hardcore song. Like, so hard. And yeah, I'm going to say that, you know, I didn't hear the song in 87. I didn't hear the song on the demo. You know, I didn't hear it until I got The Way It Is the next year. But, you know, that was definitely one of the standout tracks on The Way It Is. You know, when I heard that, I was just like, holy shit, what is this? Like, what? Because it just sounds so different from everything else on that record.
Yeah, and there are some fast parts on this, we gotta say, you know,
Ben, but not like Straight Ahead.
No, it's, yeah, his backbone is not fast, right? Yeah. But it does change it up a lot. It's yeah, like the original YOLO shit, dude. It goes anywhere they want to go at that moment, you know. Ben, what do you got on this? This is what you think is the prototype of hardcore to come, correct?
Yeah, I've said this on the pod a few times before, that this might be the most influential, I can't even call it a record because it's a demo, the most influential recording in hardcore, just because so many bands lean so hard into the whole mosh thing. And this is kind of the beginning of it, of that sound. that people are after. You know that sound you've been looking for? It's like Marvin Berry sticking the phone up to Michael J. Fox, but it's Breakdown, and it's 1987. And this song is definitely like the song for me, because I, just like Clevo, I listened to it 7 trillion times on my New York City Hardcore The Way It Is cassette. And I always used to think he was singing, "And anyone in my way is gonna get by." It's like, oh, like, you're getting in my way? Oh, please. I'll just step to the side and let you walk through. Oh, what a nice guy. That's not what he's singing.
Good job you weren't in his way, Ben.
Whew.
Smashed and bashed, dude.
You know what? Maybe this isn't the most influential recording in hardcore, but would you say that the musicians on this record are the most influential, considering that they went from this to Raw Deal? So between the Breakdown 87 demo and the Raw Deal demo, you really have like ground zero. That is the ground zero, is those two demos.
Yeah, it's also almost like, oh, sorry.
Half of them end up being on Alone in a Crowd too.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really like New York hardcore hitting the reset button, because when people say NYHC, they really mean music that sounds like this. They don't mean like The Abused or the first generation stuff so much. You know, they might mean probably the first Agnostic Front album, and then this. Probably somewhere in there is the sound they're talking about.
The other thing about this is like, it was always available. So it like became canon to like almost every generation, right? Because the demo comes out in 87, obviously, because of the name, but it gets repressed by Blackout in 1990, and they make a ton of them. Like, this was a really easy record to find always, you know, and it seems like they just kept pressing them, you know, and this was never a thing. Like, Blackout does a great job of having things be available digitally. Like, you know, this isn't like a record where it's like you're looking for it and it's like, ah, god damn it, it's not on Spotify. Like, this thing has just always been available since I've been in hardcore, so it's allowed it to become, you know, an absolutely like must have and must know release, right?
Yeah, and Painkiller put it out in more recent years too.
Yeah, shout out on that, huh?
Yeah, they, yeah. 2016, they put it on 12-inch and it has the WNYU tracks.
Yep, I got it, because that's my favorite shit, dude. EPs released as LPs, you know. Okay, let's see here. I got to take my second song. Where the fuck did I put my list? Oh, it's on another tab. Okay, what do I need to take now? I'm going to take a blast song. I'm just going to take the first song on the record. I think this whole thing bangs. A lot of the albums from this year are pretty wild. I think that I listened to the whole thing. You know, maybe the Warzone, definitely like side A and the beginning of side B. Maybe it falls off and gets a little hit or miss, maybe at the very, very end. But, dude, think about like the Sick of It All 7-inch, the Blast LP, the Verbal Assault LP, the Final Conflict LP, the Breakdown 87 demo, like, a lot of these records I listen to, okay, they have tracks, obviously, that's what makes them classic, right? But they're almost like, what makes them great is the sum of all parts. These are records where I do not skip songs, you know? So it's wild. And sometimes when I'm in that pickle where I like every song on the record, much like Trial, you know, by Verbal Assault, I love every song on that record. I thought about taking Scared. I thought about taking Heal because I think his voice sounds the best on Heal. I thought about taking Running and thought about taking Understand, you know what I'm saying? But like, it's kind of when you don't know what song to pull, the first song on the record, like, it gives you that feeling, because not only are you stoked to hear that song, you know, like, you got this musical journey in front of you, right? You're excited to listen to the whole record. So I think the blast choosing Time Will Tell is like a similar type of thing. I almost wanted to be Psycho, and I love that song, Your Eyes. It's just like, what the fuck is going on here? You know, it's like, Your Eyes, and like, Thu's just soloing behind it, and it's just getting all buck, you know. And maybe the best song on the record is that Looking at Myself. Maybe the best song is It's in My Blood. Fuck, I don't know. But the first 2 minutes of Only Time Will Tell, like before the singing comes in, sets such a mood for the record that you know you're in for like some punishing shit, what Black Flag should have turned into. And then when it comes out of that intro, it's just raging. It's that, you know, it's that pulsating, you know, just rhythmic, slow, fast, down strum, mid tempo. Like it is so banging. And then this song has everything in it that you love about Blast, right? It's got the spooky shit. It's got like the drag outs. The lyrics are good. You know, I love that shit at the end when he's like, I hope this won't come true. I hope you call me a liar. You know, it's so ill. So anyway, that is my choice. Ben, what is your opinion on that?
I had Blast on my short list. It wasn't this song, but this is an incredible album. Very important. Great cover art. It's the praying hands, and which you kind of see repeated with the photograph on the first Unbroken album. I don't know if that's intentional. I suspect it is. We could ask Rob. Blast is one of these bands where I introduced Graham Kleist to Blast when we were starting our band Fields of Fire, and we had one song that I wrote that's modeled after Blast called Cookie Cutter. And then Graham comes to me and he goes, I wrote this other song. And I'm like, we already did a song that sounds like Blast. And he's like, oh, okay. And then he just started Annihilation Time. and we made a pilgrimage. When they first got back together, they played in Santa Cruz, and everyone in our band together made a pilgrimage just to go to the show. And it was hyper violent and everything we could hope for. And they were incredible and super loud. And it sort of is like, if Black Flag didn't kind of fall off a cliff towards the end of their career, this is sort of what they should have sounded like. This is the tightest.
Ben, I was at that show too. I was at that show too. And you know who I rode with?
I don't know.
Episode one, the legend Joe Rivas.
Oh yeah. Yeah, there is a strong Oxnard connection with Blast too. Fred Hammer, definitely good friends with those guys. Graham just became their roadie. He like befriended them and is like, I'm your roadie. And he just like started traveling with them. The first album, Power of Expression, is really good. And this one is much tighter, rhythmically much more together, not as loose as Power of Expression. So it's really a tough call. To know which one is, I think for the 80s list we did, I picked the first album, but this one is just about equal.
Hell yeah. Clevo, did this band ever catch on the East Coast?
I think so. I mean, I've always loved this record. You know, I did see it as an extension of, you know, I like Black Flag, so I like Blast. I mean, I know the people that I talk to are into this. When they were playing shows, a couple of years ago. I mean, I have no concept of time anymore, thanks to 2020. But like, I want to say maybe it was 2018 they were supposed to tour. They were supposed to come to Boston, and they canceled for some reason. I think they had ended up canceling all their East Coast dates. So I still have, again, another band I just have never had a chance to see. Fucking love this. You know, I think that, you know, the record, how long does it take before like anything really happens on the record? Cause there's like you said, there's like the spooky shit, and then there's that intro riff, and then it's like Clifford just comes in with like, time to grab reality by the balls. It's just like it's like, that's who we are, like that's what we're coming for you. And just like that record is just like so intense. And it really is that. You know, if you figure by 87, Black Flag was done, and, you know, there's, you know, after the last record, the one that I never listened to.
In My Head.
In My Head, thank you. You know, after In My Head, you know, this really is, like you said, like, this is the direction Black Flag should have gone into. And while you were saying this, I don't want to say anything bad about Mike V, but I wonder if Clifford was ever approached to sing for those Black Flag shows, because I'd really like to see that. But yeah, a great, it's on my list. Great record. Again, this is something else we may talk about again later in the pod.
dude, they should have gone this way after My War or arguably after Damaged, you know? So especially like the first Blast record, because it's a little more, like Ben said, it's a little more punk, a little more raging. They're really tone. They hone in on this album and it's just a beast. Like, it's a powerhouse here. And I don't, just like Ben, it's a toss up. I don't know what I like better. I go back and forth on it. You know, do I want a little more wildness or do I want this just beast of a band? I don't know. Ben, let's go to you for your number two.
All right. This pick is strategic. It's preemptive. It's jacking what I think is probably Dan's favorite band that put out anything in the year 1987. I'm talking. Side by Side, Violence to Fade on the New York City Hardcore 1987 Together compilation, Revelation Records number 2. This is the first song I ever heard by Side by Side, because I got into them. No, it isn't. I take that back. This isn't the first song. Zip, 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 zip. But this song is on, I think, the Lost and Found CD. It might be the first song on that. And it's just, it's crazy how, like, you know, New York City Hardcore, they usually like let you in gradually to the song. They're known for those moshy intros. This song is just like, bam, the second it starts, it's just smashing you with the band going, fucking Jules screaming at you, like, whoa, what's being done to me right now? And super fast verses, and then the chorus comes in, and then that's where the mosh starts. You can't fight and you can't win. It doesn't make you better. Blah, 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 blah. So good. Just like, this is what hardcore should sound like. I mean, there's lots of things hardcore should sound like, but this is definitely a lane that is done very well by one of the best bands from that whole Rev scene.
This rules. I'm staying away from this comp. I'm just, for the people, I'm choosing stuff that's streaming. But you know, someone could have been clever and chose the 6 songs off this record and then maybe a straight ahead song, you know, and it's like, fuck.
But is the Side by Side discography not streaming? Is this not on that?
Ooh, this might be there, huh? It's got to be there.
It's there.
Well, hell yeah, Ben.
I don't know if it's the same version, though, that's on this Together comp. It might be a different version of Violence to Fade. Someone out there can answer that. But either way, that's what should go on the playlist when it's constructed by Zach.
Hell yeah, I will. I'll put it on because it's a song that kicks ass. Dan, this is kind of like you not choosing Minor Threat on the Straight Edge Super 7. You don't have Side by Side on your list when there's one song to take, right?
I know. It was going to be my next pick. I left it because I thought it was hidden in plain sight. And I had to get those. I mean, I had to have the Warzone intro. But I'm really pissed. I love the sleazy, where it comes back in and it does the mosh part sleazier at the very end. But yeah, this is another one, much like the Straight Ahead song, where fast, 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 fast. And then when it kicks to the change of pace, it's still going somewhat quickly, but the change of pace just makes it just genius. And then Jules' vocals, just so good. I love Side by Side. I hate I don't have this pick. And I will be licking my wounds till my next pick. I'm going to just try and find something that Ben wants and just take that just out of spite.
So actually, Dan, it wouldn't have been your next pick because I was going to take it.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Okay.
At least you got screwed too.
Clevo, what's your take on this? And then go into your number two.
I mean, I can't really add much more about it, but yeah, it's just, you know, he kind of, when he goes into the chorus and it's like that breakdown chorus and he does a little bit of the capo antidote with his voice, chef's kiss.
Yeah.
My next pick, I'm going to switch it up a little bit since everyone's been taking stuff off of records that I was going to take something off of. And I'm going to take Naked Ray Gun, Vanilla Blue.
Fuck you.
Naked Ray Gun. I knew I was going to get my next on that
pick.
One.
That's my next pick.
Naked Ray Gun, you know, Chicago band. You know, very, very anthemic.
Whoever's clicking something, oh, don't sorry. Do that.
Naked Ray Gun, Chicago band, you know, really anthemic, has all the woes. This song starts off, you know, just like with a little bit of like a couple of little guitar flicks, and then the drums kick in, and then when the riff kicks in, and then Jeff's voice, Jeff's just got a great voice. You know, he's like, icicles down my spine, my boots feel empty. It's just probably the best Naked Ray Gun song out of their discography. I mean, it's arguable. There's a couple other ones, but really one of their best songs. I think it's a perfect example. If you've never heard Naked Ray Gun before, I'm sorry, but if you've never heard Naked Ray Gun before, this is a great introduction. And a little bit under the radar. It's also, they only released two songs this year, this and a song on the one of the Rap Music for Rap People Cops. So I'm glad they got something out here that I got on the list.
This also makes it on the Jettison record, I believe.
I think so, the reissue. Put it on the
playlist, right?
I think it's on
the reissue.
Yeah, added.
Okay, is that this version? Do you know, Ben, by any chance?
Yes. Yes, it is.
Sick. Yeah, and this song made the Naked Ray Gun playlist that Ben made me, so you know it kicks ass. Ben, what's your take on this?
This was going to be my next pick. This was going to be my number two pick, and I thought, I know Dan's going to pick that side by side, and it's like, fuck, that's the thing about 87. It's like, there are like a handful of songs that we can all agree are like the best songs. I think there's probably more consensus in 87 than any other year. You know, if we did other years, we'd have more paths to follow. This song is like, it's a heartbreak song. A girl broke his heart. It's just, they just have this great, they're so anthemic. That's what if I could narrow Naked Ray Gun down to one adjective, I'd say, listen to this song, listen to Home of the Brave, and listen to Rap Patrol. It's like, they're a woe band. There are no woes in this song, but the way he says, lost control again, it's almost like those could have been woes. Just one of the, definitely the best band from Chicago ever, in my opinion. And that's a big city.
You know, I would say the Effigies definitely give them a run for the money. One thing about Naked Ray Gun is if you never listen to them and just listen to the first songs on their LPs, they just have this knack of putting these super anthemic, catchy sing-along songs as the first song on each of their LPs. Not that the rest of the LPs aren't great, but their first song on each LP, Soldier's Requiem, you know, like you said, Rap Patrol, and the other one you said, Ben.
Home of the Brave, yes.
Home of the Brave. Just like all those songs, this song, you know, if you're not familiar, give them a deep dive. If you like sort of, they're not going to be super hard. You're not going to mosh to them, but you know, you don't need that with this.
Dude, or track down Ben Merlis on Spotify. He made a 21 song, 57 minute playlist that bangs. The other interesting thing about this song is it is 3 minutes and 10 seconds. So 1 second away from being a shout out to Dan's favorite band. And Dan, let's go to you for your number three.
And when there's darkness and the lights are dim, I have no fear because I know we'll win. Those stupid minds. It's gotta be The Edge by Token Entry. This song is so incredible. It's got the la 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 like parts to start, and then it's again another gear shift that makes hardcore songs and hardcore music the best music in the world, because when you change that gear and then you bring in the sing-along, and this sing-along part is one of the sing-along parts of all time, it's just an absolutely incredible song. It has melody, it has grit a little bit, you know, but it's got a ton of melody, it's got a ton of fast, and then it does the gear change for the ultimate sing-along part, you know. We've got the edge on ignorance, and so do you, if you think this makes sense. What a fucking song.
Dude, I'm stoked this is on the list. This LP is another one that I like to listen to the whole thing. It doesn't have super, super standouts, but I always loved to listen to this album. It's a great hardcore record. And yeah, maybe this is the standout, you know, but shout out Jersey for getting on the list. Ben, do you have a take on this?
That chorus is repeated in Ernie's other band, Black Train Jack. They have a song called, No Reward, I think. It's on the Only the Strong 93 comp. And it's like that's this really slow part, and Rob, who passed away from COVID in 2021, he starts singing, "And when there's darkness and the lights are all dim, I'll have no fears because I know we'll win." And then the song gets louder and louder, and it's fucking awesome. As for Token Entry, I think there's always problems with their recordings. Like they never, like Jaybird is way too trebly. From Beneath the Streets has its issues. Like they're never able to capture what everyone says was one of the best bands from that scene on a record. But good pick.
I mean, this doesn't sound huge and like something that you call out that has a sick recording, but this recording is not distracting by any means. I don't think it takes away from the record. You really feel that way, Ben? Like the recording of this hurts the record?
Yeah, I remember. God, I haven't listened to the first album in years. So I just remember thinking, like, how come I'm not bumping this as much as, you know, Side by Side or Underdog, or you name, you know, any number of other hardcore bands from that region and era. But I'll give it another spin. Maybe my memory fails me.
Well, right on. Clevo, what's your take on that?
Great song. I probably listened to the free for all version more, the live version. So, you know, I can't necessarily speak on like the production or whatnot. But some funny things about this, because I heard the free for all version before I heard the album version and did not have a lyric sheet. It's another one of those where I got the lyrics wrong and I thought it was, "And when there's knocking and the lights are dim," like you're scared of something like knocking in the distance. And we were in the Stop and Think van one time and AJ was like, "Wait, what do you think the lyrics are?" And totally called me out on that. And I also thought that he was thinking Billy Crystal instead of Hilly Crystal when he does, like, he thanks all the people on the live version. So yeah, I was a nerd that didn't know anything when I was much younger. So
that live version though, it's so good.
I mean, Free For All comp overall is great. But yeah, that live version of this, you know, Timmy kind of going crazy. There's the soul that's going on. He thanks like every person at the show. but yeah, that whole comp is great.
All right. I am going to take the song. Let's see here. I'm breaking my first song streak, even though I'm gonna go back later and take some more first songs, maybe. I'm going to take the song Give Respect by Sick of It All. This is probably my favorite song off the 7-inch, and the 7-inch is wild when you go and listen to it. I actually bought it for a couple bucks at a store again a couple years ago, and so I listened to it a lot that time, like, because I got it on CD, you know, and so it was just like one of those three CDs I had in my truck when I didn't want to, you know, connect to the internet or whatever. And I have the 7-inch at home, but yeah, just listening to it, it's like, fuck dude, this thing bangs. It's like 10 songs on a 7-inch. Right. And every song brings the heat, you know, and there's like classics on here. Of course, you know, Half Fit would get re-recorded for the LP, which comes out in 89. This is 87, obviously, but this is like one of those hardcore songs where it's like, what is great about hardcore? You know, it can give you some life lessons, you know, and it can teach you a lot. And the lyrics are great on this, you know, like give respect, get it back. My solid promise. Shit. Another fucking great opening line, like the breakdown song, you know, like a lot of these bands, people think about them as knuckleheads, but they got some good ass lyrics, you know, that I love. And then the chorus on this, you know, when it drops tempo, the pure is what you're gonna born. Be positive what you're gonna be. Hard is a life that you're thrown into. Stick it out like my bros and me, you know. And then just to go fast, like out of that, so YOLO, so catchy into so YOLO. Like this is the perfect like crossroads of hardcore and punk. You know, like this is like hardcore punk. There's still so much punk in this, but there is like that is 100% hardcore. That sing along slash breakdown slash chorus part, right? So it's like this has got it all, and on a record that bangs, it's in and out so quick. All the songs are good. This is my standout. Sick of It All. Give Respect. Dan, what's your take on that?
Well, you know what? I'm going to help out your list here. If you look at the back cover of the 7-inch, you're allowed to take Push Too Far slash Give Respect, because they have it listed as like running into the other. So
if that's you your want, gimmick, though, dog.
You can add the Push Too Far.
No, I'm not stealing your gimmick.
Because if you look at, they've got the.
I love Push Too Far for sure. It was like in my list. I might have taken that. That or Friends Like You if this got jacked. But I thought this is a deep cut. I should have, if I was being strategic, I would take this round 7. But I got to put Respect on Give Respect's name, dude. It's going number 3.
Yeah. Straight edge or not, don't matter to me. You know, that's a philosophy. I lent on this song when writing a certain song of my own called Neanderthal Convention. Like this was a little Easter egg there, like punk kids, edge kids, it doesn't matter. You know, it's kind of like, cause I was so listening to this 7-inch nonstop at the time that OMDB was forming. I absolutely love the recording of this, even though Blood Sweat is like a little bit more pro, but a little bit colder. I just love the way this 7-inch sounds, and Give Respect is just such a fucking great song. And then Like My Brothers and Me. And I always love that line because they're brothers, you know, they're the,
that's a good point,
you know,
but no, dude, we're actually brothers.
Yeah. They're the Bizarro World Gallaghers.
What do you think the legacy is of Sick of It All if they put out the 7-inch and never do anything again?
They're probably it's up there with Negative Approach 7-inch. Like, it's that revered if they don't do anything else.
What's your take on that, Clevo?
great fucking song. I think it's an underrated song. I feel like, I don't know if I've ever seen them play this live. It's such a weird song because I think on the record, I do prefer the LP version to the 7-inch version, but I think it's one of my favorite Sick of It All songs overall. And one of my favorite songs on the LP, you know, just like the whole, like the choruses are just like so catchy, and like, you just want to like, such a sing along. I think the lyrics are you know, really heartfelt and really deep, and just really like, you know, like just accepting of, I don't care who you are, we're all in the scene together. And it's really sort of that, you know, when you think about in 1987, punk and hardcore, you know, was not, there was no Hot Topic, there was no like, you know, punk on MTV or none of that. Like you were outcast, and if you were like that whole, like, well, you're a punk kid, you're a hardcore kid, you're a straight edge kid, you're skinhead, whatever, like, we all have to stick together because there's only a few of us. So I think that those lyrics really kind of hit home hearing them at that time.
Hell yeah, I love it. Ben, you got a take on this, or you want to take your number 3 pick?
This is one of those bands that is good enough for me to buy their first several records, but I don't like them enough to actually listen to them. So it's like that bad, like grayer, that like middle area where you like, you're like, damn, I have to own this, but it's just gonna fucking collect dust on my shelf. But so that's where I stand with Sick of It All. I like them. I like them. I paid money for this shit, but this wouldn't be on. You know, this isn't in my top 7. So thank you for picking it.
Yeah. I mean, the world would have been a better place without that take. On to your number 3.
Okay. Well, I'm going to pick, let's see here. All right. When I think of the 80s, I think of High Top Sneakers. I think of launch ramps put up against walls so you can do wall rides, and the song Coolidge by the Descendants, which is a song that is in, and I can't remember the name of the skate video, one of these skate videos in the late 80s where they
it's Savannah Slamma 2.
It's not a contest video though, because so I guess it's in more than one skate video in the 80s, but they're riding their skateboards down grass hills, which is a very fun thing to do, because if you fall, you won't get as injured as riding your skateboard down asphalt or concrete. But what the hell ever I was thinking of, this song is the first song. Actually, it's not. It's the second song on the All LP, because the first song just goes All. So this is the first real song off that album. And it's just like between this and Clean Sheets, like those are my two favorite Descendants songs, which is weird because it's like the fourth album they made. Like, how many bands can you say like, oh, their best songs are on their fourth album? And it's just the best sounding Descendants album. Like everything is perfectly recorded. And I remember reading an interview with Bill Stevenson, and he's like, we finally figured it out by the fourth album. Like, oh, here's a guy who is a recording engineer, producer by trade, who is, you know, agreeing with me and or confirming my opinion about this being the best sounding Descendants record. Just a feel good song all around. And, you know, fuck anyone who tried to invade the Capitol building. I hope they get, you know, put under the prison. I hope they get, you know, they lock them away and then swallow the key like in a cartoon. But you know, whatever t-shirt anyone wears when they testify isn't going to affect my opinions about music. So Descendants from now until eternity.
Hell yeah. Clevo, you got a take on this?
I do. I think that a lot of Milo's lyrics lately, can't really hang with them. They come across as just like, they just come across a little different now, but I can't deny the songs are still good. I just probably listen to Descendants much less than I used to, which is, you know, but great band. I'm trying to think of what that other skate video is, but there's contest video that there's a bunch of SST songs, and I think it's Savannah Slamma 2, but there's a bunch of SST songs, and Blast is in it, and Descendants and Black Flag and some other stuff. Descendants, you know, all-time band, I just probably don't listen to them as much as I used to anymore.
Well, these lyrics are better than Clean Sheets, dude. That's kind of a rough one.
Yeah, Clean Sheets is, yeah.
It sucks because those melodies, like, that was always a classic song. And then, you know, when you, it's like one of those ones where you slow down and you think about it, it's like, hey, dude, like, maybe you're dirty too, foo. You know, maybe there's nothing wrong with being dirty. Maybe people should just be who they are, you know, put some respect on everyone's name. Dan, what's your take on this?
I love the Descendants, but I'm more of a Milo Goes to College in my repeat listens in this day and age more than the later stuff. There's great stuff all over it. I mean, you can't go wrong with a Descendants pick, but you can go wrong stealing someone's side-by-side pick. So boo on Ben.
Right on. Let's go to Clevo for your number three.
So when Ben started talking about skateboarding, I got really nervous that he was going to take my next pick, because this song is 100% skate rock, and it's going to be Weakness by McRad.
You stole my next pick.
Well, you should have taken it. McRad, yes, skate rock band, most notably Chuck Treese, who was pro skater and went on to be an underdog, played guitar. This song is so much different than the rest of their songs. You know, especially like the two songs most people are probably familiar with are McRad and Weakness, because they are in the Powell Video, public domain, which is really probably why I'm putting it in here, because I actually just recently watched that video. And because I wanted to hear the song, but also because I wanted to watch Ray Barbie skates when this is on, and Ray Barbie is like the smoothest skater. He does he does this move, and this shout out to Larry Ransom and his podcast, the Bones Brigade Audio Show, where they're doing deep dives on every Powell video and related videos. And they talked about this, but while Ray Barbie's skating, it's like one of my favorite skate parts. McRad is playing, Weakness is playing, and he does this thing where he does a shove it, and then he does a no comply off the nose, and he flips around, and he does this little thing where he like hops off and kind of plants his foot and does this boneless. And it's the smoothest thing. And if you were involved in street skating at any time in the late 80s, you probably tried to do it. And you could probably do those tricks, but you're never going to look as cool as Ray Barbie was when he was doing it. So McRad being a skate rock band, being in the video with Chuck Treese being a skater, it just totally fits. Also, the McRad record was put out by a label called Beware Records, which was actually owned by Deluxe Distribution, which went on to put out, you know, it's like Real Skateboards. It's like Jim Thiebaud and Tommy Guerrero, all of their brands that are around that too. So this is totally like 100%. This song is about and around skateboarding.
I love it. Ben, talk about why you were going to choose a song.
Yeah, and Chuck Therese, who also was in the Bad Brains a little bit after this, I think he's the singer of McRad. He is the first black skateboarder to make the cover of Thrasher magazine. And making the cover of Thrasher magazine at the time was like, there was nothing higher than that. It was like winning the World Series. McRad, this is just this cool mid-tempo love song with awesome like 80s like chorusy riffy guitar, not that dissimilar from the Verbal Assault pick that I did. There was this cool kind of like melodic punk hardcore thing that was happening around this time. Skate rock was a big deal. Thrasher magazine was putting out about once a year, they were putting out these comps called Skate Rock Volume 1, 2, 3, 4. I think 5 came out in 87. I can't subscribe to the idea that skate rock is its own genre of music, because if you look at the bands on those comps, they sound very different from each other. The only rule was that at least one member had, or maybe all of the members had to be skateboarders to be on the compilation. But, you know, Chuck Therese was a pro skateboarder. And my band Fields of Fire played with, I'm sorry, not Fields of Fire, Surprise Vacation. My current band played with them at the skate park two blocks from my house a couple of years ago. And that was an honor. It was pretty cool.
I saw my Chain Reaction in the 90s or early 2000s. They were great, you know. And Ben, you forgot your own band's name, dude. So you got to change it to Spicy Vacation. No one will ever forget.
Right on.
You know, Dan, you got some on this? Well, or you want to go to your number four?
My love for this is something that I can show. It's really good. Didn't Chuck Treese end up being in Faith No More for a little bit? Or am I just tripping on that?
I don't know.
I'm not sure.
Chuck Mosley. Chuck Mosley was in Faith No More. Oh, maybe you're confusing Chucks.
I'm getting my Chucks wrong then, I suppose. But yeah, this is so catchy, so ill, and made better through its connection to skateboarding. Now, I am going to, go a little rogue here, and I'm going to go, in our minds and in our hearts, we feel that hardcore music should stay out of big business and stay in the streets where it belongs. All you kids out there, always keep the faith. I'm going Warzone again, and I'm going, don't forget the struggle, don't forget the streets. I'm fucking snatching this while it's still out there, and I'm bolstering my list as being just fucking incredible. This song is so catchy, is so great. The intro is fucking phenomenal. From the East Coast to the West Coast, everyone out there listening to this pod right now is saying, great fucking pick. And it says, bust it. Don't forget the struggle.
I love it, dude. This is on the Mount Rushmore of cool things Dan has done. Choosing two things from the Warzone record. I fucking love it. And this song is so perfect. You know, when I break down like 80s hardcore songs and I think about like the perfect songs, I think that this and New York Crew are both like perfect hardcore opuses. They have so many like parts. They have so many different tempos. The lyrics are perfect on both of them. Like, you know, they're telling a tale. You're learning shit. They're just like two of the greatest songs of all time. And yeah, I love this pick. Clevo, what's your take on this?
I mean, what more can we say about Warzone and say about this album? And, you know, I like that chorus, you know, the intro, the chorus, it's a great song. You know, I mean, I have a tattoo of the cover of this record. What else can I say about it? Like,
I love it. I love it. Okay. I got to take my number four. Oh, where am I going? Let's see here. Okay. I am going to take, I'm going back to first songs, dude. I'm going to take Apocalypse Now by Final Conflict. It's on the LP Ashes to Ashes. This is one of the greatest 80s hardcore LPs of all time. It's fucking shameful that it's not on our top 100. Looking at you, Dan. Looking at you, Ben. Very disappointed. My deadpan kid face that I share on our group chat sometimes. But, I mean, this thing is just savage. It's taking like the spirit of Discharge. It's taking the spirit of Dehumanization, the Crucifix LP, and it just pounds, you know, and it's hilarious. Like, if I was going to give one knock on this record, it would be that they don't have the mid-tempo banger, right? Like, they don't have their version of Protest and Survive. But it's hilarious. Like, when you listen to this record, it's like, oh shit, they're just doing it every fucking song. They're just bringing the heat every song. Like, every song is like a sped up D beat song that has like a catchy chorus, and some of them have like a tempo change. You know what I mean? But every single song is a fucking blazer. They're bringing the heat every time. The choruses are really catchy for the style of music. Like, they came up with something to say on every single one. This thing for the genre is very near perfect. You know, sans the mid tempo banger, but I'm taking Apocalypse Now because I can't decide on what song, because I loved this whole album. It just pounds. And I thought about taking the second song because it's just hilarious to me. It's like, oh, they did it again. The second song is just like the first one. It's like the same like structure. It's just as catchy, but it's like 9 seconds shorter. You know? Well, yes, sir. So good. But I'm taking Apocalypse Now for the same reason that I took the other first songs. It gives you the feel for the rest of the record. You know that one of the greatest 1987 blazers is coming down the pipe, is smacking you in the dome, and that's what I'm going with. The LP is Ashes to Ashes. The song is Apocalypse Now. The band is Final Conflict, and you will be punished by it. Ben, you got a take on this?
I like how in my intro to the year, I'm like, yeah, not much happening in SoCal. And my last round, I picked Descendants, and then in this round, you picked Final Conflict. Like, oops, I guess I was wrong about that. Final Conflict is a band I've seen before. I know the singer. He is a booking agent in, you know, kind of a, I guess, as big time as a punk rock booking agent can be. Nice guy. I never bothered listening to their records. I don't know why, and that will change. In fact, it already has changed. I put my mic on mute and I started listening to this song, and it is very good.
Yeah, dude. And every song is nearly like this song. So it's like they're coming at you with a bunch of bangers, dude. Clevo, is this record one of the most underrated hardcore LPs of all time?
It's up there. I have the album on my list. I could not pick a song, but I wanted to make sure, and I knew that you were actually going to pick something off of this, but I wanted to make sure that we talked about it. I've actually owned this record for almost 35 years. I don't listen to it enough. I probably looked at the booklet more than I've listened to the record, because the booklet that comes in the record is so awesome. Shout out to Pusshead for having great layouts and great packaging. But at some point in the late 90s, early 2000s, I went off on collecting Final Conflict Pusshead Records. And so I have this collection of all these like random Final Conflict 7-inches that are like signed by Pusshead and weird colors, weird color vinyl and foil covers. That like, you know, they were still putting out like great, great music, like into the late 90s, early 2000s. Like there's those 7-inches are all great. But they're less, they're more straightforward hardcore, I think, than the songs that are on this. I really need to go back and listen to this album more. And I'm psyched that it's on here.
Yeah. The other thing is like, they're a wild band, 'cause they put out, you know, that rules that you're collecting all the 7-inches and shit. For bands that I am not like diehard on, I usually just follow the LPs or, you know, classic 7-inches, but they're a wild band in that I believe, and I could be wrong, and I'm a dumbass for not checking Discogs before I say this, but I feel like they put like an LP out like every 10 years, you know, and they're all like really good.
Well, there's that Rebirth LP.
Yep.
I think the songs on those Pusshead 7-inches might be on that Rebirth LP, or some of them might be. I'd have to go back and check.
Yeah, and then Tim Singer from Visual Discrimination sang for the one like in 06 or whatever. You know, he sang for the 90s one or the 00 or the aughts one. Can't remember, but that one fucking rages too. It's like, good God, man. You know, like this band just brings the heat, and they are underappreciated, or at least underappreciated in my circles. You know, I think that like for the people that know what's up, you know, they got a lot of respect.
I think it's weird though, because Pusshead in the 80s was not putting out like super limited records. 'Cause you think he was like putting out Poison Idea and, you know, some other stuff, but he put out this LP. It wasn't limited. And like, I got it in Ohio. I think I bought it in a record store. Like, so the records were getting out there. It wasn't like I mail ordered it. Like, oh, I have to get that Final Conflict LP because Pusshead's putting it out. So they were getting out there. I just don't know, you know, did they ever come out east or anything like that? Did they tour the country or did they just play around California? And that could be a function of that.
True. Good point. Okay, Ben, let's go to you for your number four.
All right. There is a city that hasn't been represented yet. And it is a city that Zach will definitely not pick anything from, but it needs to be said that Washington, D.C. had a band called Dag Nasty, and they put out their second album this year called Wig Out of Denko's. And the best song on that album is Exercise. That's the one where, you know, the hook doesn't happen till the very end of the song, but what a payoff it is. Lies are just exercises. And I know Joe Rivas, episode one, The Legend. This is his favorite Dag Nasty album. This is not my favorite. My favorite is the first album, Can I Say? But great album. This is with their third singer, Peter Kortner. And here's a little fun, I guess it's an Easter egg. I don't know what you'd call it, but there's a Swizz song. Swizz, of course, is the first singer of Dag Nasty's next band, Sean Brown. And they have a song where he goes, lies aren't exercises. So it's like he's dissing Dag Nasty, which I think is cool because I like hip hop, and it's kind of like using the tools of hip hop to like for groups to diss each other. But this has always been my favorite song on Wig Out of Denko's. What do you guys think?
Dan, let's go to you.
I'm not a Wig Out of Denko's man, really.
Clevo, let's go to you.
I like this record. I don't think I don't really. I go back and forth with Smalley's voice on Can I Say. There's a live set from I don't know if we've talked about this before on the pod, but there's a live set from City Gardens with Peter Kortner singing and playing all the songs from all the eras, and that might be my favorite thing, hearing Peter Kortner singing the Smalley songs. I did have them on the list, not this song, but I do like this. And also I want to say that I'm pretty sure friend of the pod Anthony Papalardo, I believe he likes this more than Can I Say as well.
Hell yeah. And it is time to shout out episode one, the legend Joe Rivas, a Dag Nasty superfan. Cleaver, let's go to you for number four.
For number four, I am going to go back to New York. Band called Rest in Pieces, and the song is going to be Not Worth Shit. Honestly, if I ever sang for a band, if I ever sang for a hardcore band, I would want to cover this song. It's so fucking hard. But we also have to talk about, this is Rest in Pieces, before it was basically, straight ahead with Armand singing, but Rob is playing guitar on this, Armand singing for the band, but this is before, Craig was playing bass for them. Fucking hard as nails, New York hardcore. This whole record's great. Probably goes a little bit under the radar from all the bands. If we talk about Sick of It All, Rest in Pieces, and Straight Ahead, considering that members of all three of those bands put records out this year in different bands, probably like the third ranked band after Sick of It All and Straight Ahead, however you rank Sick of It All and Straight Ahead. Like I said, flies under the radar a little bit for them. This song is also on the Free For All comp, and that's another one where you hear the version on that. It's just so fucking hard with Craig's bass. But the album version is also just great. Another one of those like united lyrics. In the middle of it, in the middle of the breakdown, when he sings like, "Let good morals run your life, not a system or a government or a faith." Just great words to live by. I fucking love this song.
Hell yeah. And this is on Spotify, I believe.
It is. So,
yeah, it's cool. Straight Ahead. Take note. Dan, you got anything on this?
Well, I thought Clevo was going to go for Balls and All off of this, but he went for Not Worth Shit. This is just
both poetic masterpieces. Let's be
real. Yes, absolutely. This is a very, very hard and YOLO as fuck NYHC record all the way through. Not Worth Shit is definitely hard. The logo to this band is hard. It's like
Beavis, a guy with a hammer.
It's like Beavis has picked up the judge hammers. He's gonna smash your head in. And yeah, I mean, there's some wild words on this LP, and check it out if you've never listened to it before. Rest in Pieces is wild, and it's got so many hardcore luminaries in it.
The anti buying your kids toys for Christmas song
is insane. The Toys R Us song, it's almost like, what does it say? It says something like, "Santa's just a fucking image to rake in lots of money."
Fuck.
Well, you have like this record, like we talked about, like all of these like super hard records that have like these introspective or like thoughtful lyrics. This song, this is Ignorant Mosh, because these lyrics are so you have like Old Gray Mare Stomp, which is like another hard as nails intro, into Stark Raving Nude, into the anti-Christmas song. And then you have Suck My Dick, Balls and All. You have Not Worth Shit. Man, they're like if this record is so fucking good though. Like front to back, it is a hard ass New York hardcore record that I'm glad is on Spotify.
Sense it is, but like, would it have been more classic if there was lots of 45-second to 90-second bangers instead of like full length songs?
I don't know. I think that, I think this song, I didn't even look at the time on it, but like this song, I don't think is very long. That bass intro, and then, the breakdown with him singing over it is just, it's so good.
Yeah.
But this is a 90-second song though. Yeah. The cover looks like Beavis mixed up with like one of the Spy versus Spy dudes.
That's right. But how are you going to have short songs when you need a fucking 200 line like manifesto on why Christmas is all part of a giant conspiracy?
I just remembered, it's Santa's on trial and so is religion.
No, Santa's a lie and so is religion. I thought it said
both are great, dude. I think on trial I like even more.
Yeah, I want to see Santa in the dark.
I'm gonna try to see the lyrics real quick.
That's going to be great if I just don't know the lyrics to anything anymore.
Holy fuck, there are a lot of lyrics on the song. Santa's just an image to rake in lots of money. Christ was born for Toys R Us. I think it's pretty funny. Religion found a way to pump the economy, and anyone who believes those lies could use a lobotomy. The government leaves the church tax-free, passes them on to you and me. Another reason to raise prices, more corporation manipulative devices. When Christmas time comes around once more, it's time to feel sad for the poor. All year round, you pay no mind. It's Christmas time now, time to be kind. Forget all the bullshit you have learned. Stop wasting money you have earned. Preach unity and peace all the time, not just when it's fashionable. Fucking righteous. Santa's a lie, and so is religion. It's all part of the fucked up world we live in. Find out the truth when you're older. They'll just tell you what they want to. Believe all you like. Believe all you want to. I don't go for it. Immaculate conception. Suicide rate will skyrocket. Still more money falls into your pocket.
Yeah, but it didn't print the last two lines that goes, you think he left you those presents. You think he did. The only thing Santa gave you was COVID.
No, dude. Well, that's wild. That's a great pick, Clevo. I love it. Dan, let's go to you. I believe we are on round number 5.
Oh, okay.
We're already at hour 25, so let's move it.
Yep. I'm going to go. I'm gonna just have to do it. Like, it's just gonna be intro fest. It's gonna be just great bangers on my list, and I'm going. It's Clobbering Time, Just Lies.
Hell yeah!
You know, needs to be on there. If it's Clobbering Time still out there, I'm grabbing it. I mean, I really was gonna go Friends Like You, but it's Clobbering Time. It's Clobbering Time is there, and I just have such a love affair with that. And then it, as it goes into Just Lies. So hard, so good. I don't really need to wax poetic on it. It's the backbone of hardcore. You know it. You love it. When you hear that doo 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 doo, you know what time it is. Fucking either move or get moved. Straight up,
dude. Plus, like the gist lies, like the way that song comes in with the bass. Also, it's like psychotic. It's all high, like what?
Yeah, shout out Richie,
dude. It's and ill. I thought you were just gonna say fuck it and take as one.
But, I almost was.
I know, but I'm lucky you didn't, because I'm taking Warzone as one is my number 5. Perfect hardcore song. No such thing as too many Unity songs. Bring it back. Every band should cover this. I think it should just be like a rites of passage. You know, you're a band, you do your first show, you cover as one. What's up?
You know, you at least get one sing along.
That's right, dude. That's right. You know, and if you don't, you just know you're sicker than your crowd, you know?
True.
So it's a perfect hardcore song, right? Like every piece of it. Clevo, can you find a flaw in Warzone as one?
No, it's fucking, it is the Warzone song. You know, like I said, when we did the Veterans Day episode, you know, when Rabies had passed, it was right before the Back to School Jam and Floor Punch came out and, you know, basically said, you know, everyone come up and played as one for Rabies. And it was fucking incredible. Such a great song. You know, it is Warzone.
It is Warzone. It is hardcore. Ben, let's go to you for year number 5.
Okay. Fun story. My dad thought that the chorus of that song was, "We must be united, ass wipe." He's like, "Is he saying ass wipe?" Like, no, he's saying as one. He's like, "Oh." So now every time I hear it, I imagine if he's singing ass wipe. But one of the great...
If it was a Rest in Pieces song, you might have said that, right?
Yeah, totally. Yep. So it's funny that Dan is picking only New York bands, and I'm doing my best to just cover the entire United States map. I got Rhode Island. I got New York. I got SoCal. I got DC. So I'm going to keep on with that as long as I can. I'm going to pick something from Boston. I Don't Wanna by the Lemonheads. This is the first song off the first Lemonheads LP, Hate Your Friends. It is hard to describe Lemonheads. I would say maybe a cross between the Descendants and the Replacements, aka Zach's favorite punk band ever. They got the emotion, they got the melody. They were never able to top their first album. They have so many records after this, including some made with members of the Descendants as Evan Dando's backing band. But this is where it all begins, and I'd almost say this is where it ends for me with the Lemonheads. I own a lot of their records, and this is the only one I ever find myself listening to. My band Surprise Vacation has covered this song before. See, I remembered the name of my own band. I'm the only one who remembers that name. Clevo, you live in Boston. Lemonheads?
I did have this on the list. I probably was going to have it in my honorable mentions. This is, if you think you're familiar with the Lemonheads, this is not the Into Your Arms. This is not the My Drug Buddy Lemonheads. This is much different. This is not Buzzbin, MTV, radio-friendly Lemonheads. Correct me if I'm wrong, Evan Dando doesn't sing on the first two records. Oh, isn't there another vocalist?
Is it Ben somebody? Fuck, now I'm showing my Lemonhead ignorance.
Either way, I'm pretty sure Evan doesn't sing on the first two. It doesn't sing on this and doesn't sing on Creator, or might sing on part of Creator. It's a totally different band on those records. Comparing it to the Replacements is probably pretty good. It's totally that late 80s college rock punk, I guess is what we would have called it then. I probably listen to Creator more than Hate Your Friends, but great records
and a good candy. Clevo, let's go to you for number five.
Well, I can go a lot of different ways here, but I'm gonna go with Embrace with Dance of Days. Embrace is Ian MacKaye, in case anyone wasn't familiar, doing that, Revolution Summer, that emo, that people of a certain age, this is what we consider emo and not, turkey hair and tight pants. I think the lyrics of the song are great. I think the lyrics on all of this are great. Chris Bald, Ivor Hansen, Michael Hampton, Ian MacKaye, where are we going to go wrong with this? It's not Minor Threat. It is not Fugazi. There are times on this record where Ian, I think, is still angry, but it just comes across in a much different way. Yeah, I mean, I don't know what else people can say about Embrace at this point, but this is a record I actually didn't hear until some point in the 90s, and I probably wouldn't have been as receptive to this in 1987 if I had heard it when it came out, because it is the bad emo word, but this is the good emo.
Yeah, we talked this a ton on the episode where Ben did a Revolution Summer starter kit, and then we did this versus Rise of Spring head to head. I wonder if you got into this in the 90s because it gets the CD re-release treatment in 92. It's the first time it comes out on CD. This is recorded in 85 and 86, comes out in 1987, so... Great poll, Clevo. I'm surprised that it took until the last pick of round five for some off this.
I thought this was where Ben was going to go when he took the deck, when he said he's going to DC.
This was going to be one of my picks for sure. This song.
Dan, you got a take on this?
It's fucking great. This was hovering around my list too. I also may pop in with a Embrace song, perhaps. We'll see.
How are you going to take Embrace when Crazy But Not Insane is still out there, man?
True. There's
In the Mirror is still out there too.
Dude. Exactly.
In the Mirror, Crazy But Not Insane. You have two more rounds. There's your picks.
Fighting for your damn country.
Yep.
I like how you're all trying to goad me into just having the entire LP, which is great. Don't get me wrong. But I'm going Super Touch, Searching for the Light off the Together comp. I love this song. I love the way it unfolds. I love the Searching for the Light. It just is so uplifting. It's so fantastic. This comp is unbelievable. And this is like one of the standouts on there, even though pretty much everything's a standout on it. The artwork to this comp is just beautiful. We've talked this comp in the past, I believe.
Yeah, on the Rev episode.
Yeah, that's right. And Supertouch ends the comp, and it just leaves you with such a great taste in your mouth. I think this song is incredible, and I really do like this version of it. Like, I really love the recording of this. So, I'm taking Supertouch, Searching for the Light. What are your lots takes on this song?
I love this song. I love this version as well. I love this whole comp, dude. I don't know why Rev doesn't like repress this. Like, have they ever been?
I think it's coming like
above repressing things to death.
You're right.
Under the impression that maybe the tapes were lost, because aren't the tapes for Lower East Side Crew are lost, right? Which is why there's never been a proper reissue of that. Although the Side by Side song ends up on the Side by Side comp, right? We haven't decided if that's that version. And the Bold song ends up on the Bold discography, correct?
I think that's right.
Yeah, this version? I don't know.
Is it this version?
I don't know. I just listened to the LP, dude. Ben's the one that fucks with the 7-inch. But yeah, dude, I love this. This is a great pick. Absolutely. Straight up. And it's on the comp that comes out a year later, right?
Yeah.
So is that the same version or a different version? Does anyone know?
I think it's a different version.
Yeah, I think his voice sounds different, doesn't it?
Yeah, this one's more raw.
Yeah. You know, I really wanted to just take stuff that is available on Spotify for the playlist, but otherwise, like, you know, well, hey, Warzone has one. I got that different version. Bold Talk is Cheap is one of my favorite songs of all time. Sing It All My Life. Yeah. That is probably, if that was on their 7-inch, it would probably be the best song. You know, you got Side by Side. Fuck. And, dude, GB Better Than You.
Yeah.
Top 3 GB song for me. But yeah, I'm going another way. Let me see what I need here. I got to take, oh, let's see. I already took As One. Okay. I'm going to take a breakdown song, and I am taking Vengeance. Gonna cut you down any way I can. You fucked with my friend to show that you're a man. Better change your ways and quick, because all you are is a fucking dick. It is so sick. And just like the Sick of It All song I talked about, Give Respect being like the perfect mashup of punk and hardcore, this song is the same thing. It's full YOLO, just going for it, but so catchy and so hard. This is classic, classic hardcore. Dan Got Sick People, Kickback still out there, but Vengeance, good God. This one might be the one I can't live without. I can't live without Kickback for sure. Excuse me, I can't live without Sick People for sure, but I don't think I can live without this one. I think those are 1 and 2 breakdown, you know? Dan, what do you think?
Well, this is This is either my third or fourth favorite song. That's how deep you go into this demo. It's just so good. Vengeance and Kickback are like vying for number three, number four. Labeled is actually my second favorite song on the Breakdown demo.
Yeah, Labeled's a great one.
Love the way the song like builds, you know, and it has that awesome break. Vengeance, you can't go wrong with it. It's fucking hard. You know, we talk about this is what made hardcore hard, but like these, I guess violence is the only way. Isn't that a line on this? It's just so violence fucking hard.
The only way you fuck with my friends.
Absolutely killer. More Breakdown picks, please.
Hey, Clevo, where do you rank Vengeance on the Breakdown demo?
Breakdown demo. Let's see. Without the track list in front of me.
Here's the track list for you. It's Sick People, Kickback, Labeled, Safe in a Crowd, You Gotta Fight, Life of Bullshit, Vengeance, Your Problems, Pipe Dream.
Man, I obviously, Kickback is such a fucking jam. Safe in a Crowd, I'd probably put around fourth.
Okay. Yeah. Dude, the thing is, like, I don't know. Yeah, everything's great. It's so good. But this is where I land. And, dude. Okay, Ben, let's go to you. Number six.
All right. Well, I can't complete my list without an Embrace track because Descendants aside, out of all these records, I think the record I've listened to the most in my life is that Embrace one. I'm going to go with the first song off the album, which is Give Me Back. And if you listen to the beginning of it, and it starts with a guitar riff and it almost sounds like it could be a Van Halen song. Like, is this Van Halen? And then of course Ian's voice comes in and it's like, clearly not, but I love that. Like, and they're not doing it on purpose. It's not like psych, but it's just, you know, it's got that chorusy Eddie Van Halen sound to the Mike Hampton's riffage. But it's cool. It's like the lyrics would never be in a Minor Threat song. And I don't think the lyrics would ever be in a Fugazi song. Like, he was just going through a thing. Like, my emotions are my enemies for being on my side. Like, it's he's going through like all these emotions and kind of doing wordplay with them. Really clever shit. I got into this, you said the CD came out in 92. I definitely got this in early 93. And it was like a secret, like, oh, there was a band in between Minor Threat and Fugazi, you know? So it was like,
yeah,
I was like the first kid in my high school to learn that secret, you know?
That got you all the chicks, huh?
Oh yeah. That's all I got. So far, Give Me Back.
Oh yeah, Clevo, rate that song versus your Embrace song.
Well, obviously I'm going to take mine over it. I think it's a great opener, and Ian's voice kicks in. It is great. I really like in like the verses, just like how his voice comes across. After he's like, because he does like in the chorus, he's like, what can I do? And then like in the verses, his voice just has like, so it's more urgent when it comes across.
This song's pretty sick, dude. I'll give it to you, Ben. Good choice. Thank you. Let's go to Clevo for number six.
I'm going to take Poison Idea off of War All the Time, and I'm going to take the song Typical. This song is a fucking, as you would say, Zach, this has some YOLO in it, and then it goes into like a little bit of like a whoa, like breakdown, and then there's just like a face melter of a solo, and it's in all in a minute 42. It's Poison Idea in that, you know, in the post 7-inch pre Feel the Darkness, where a lot of these records kind of sound very, I don't want to say samey, but like Poison Idea has a sound in that mid 80s time. Like if you put a Poison Idea record on, you're like, yeah, that's Poison Idea. Like that's what they sound like. I just think Poison Idea is, just such a great band. I think they are, really important. I don't know if they necessarily, got all of the accolades that they deserved in their time. But I think in hindsight, I think a lot of people, I think people miss some of their records because there's quite a few of them that come out sort of between the 7-inch, and then you have Record Collectors and Kings of Punk, which are like those three are the ones that people like really gravitate to. And then you have Feel the Darkness and I Feel Like War All the Time and like Black on Vacant. I just feel like those kind of get lost. But they're all great records.
Yes. this one, that's the way I feel, like, because it comes after Record Collectors and Kings of Punk and then before Feel the Darkness. So it just kind of gets lost there.
The Ian MacKaye record's in there too. Like the Ian MacKaye record comes out in 88.
There's a bunch of stuff. And then isn't there the one where they get together with the Jeff Dahl dude and they do all the Steve Bader songs.
Yeah.
Like they put out so much stuff. And I think one of the things, well, we can't really say that anything hurt Poison Idea, right? The legend is strong.
Yeah.
But I do think that like some of like the more recent reissues, this is a band that has a shit ton of material, right? And all their albums are really good, you know, like through Feel the Darkness. I'd consider everything classic. So it's just kind of ridiculous to have stuff go out of print and like do different releases, like of different recordings and shit. You know, it's like, just keep the classic records in print. I heard this one definitely like the last out of all those, the other three LPs plus the 7-inch. And I was so shocked by how much this thing just rages, right? It's like, again, it's very similar, not necessarily musically to like the Final Conflict, but yeah, they got a formula. They're just banging and they're pumping out tracks, right? This was way better than I thought it would be because I'd never heard anyone talk about this LP before. And listening to it, I was just like, fuck, this is actually like really good.
Yeah, I think that this record definitely gets overlooked. Blackout Vanquish doesn't come out till like 92. I think that's another one that gets overlooked. Feel the Darkness. I feel like people either like they ride hard for Feel the Darkness, or they ride hard for the 7-inch, or they ride hard for Kings of Punk and Record Collectors. I put Kings of Punk and Record Collectors together almost, although I think Kings of Punk is a better record. Great. I mean, seriously, great band, and just really, like Jerry A's a lifer, man. If you hear him, he was on the Turned Out a Punk episode. And I thought that was just a really, hearing him on there, you kind of have one vision of what he would be like. And he's like, he just seemed like really like nice and cool. Like not what I expected.
Dude, that was like my all time interview. The Jerry A on Kings or in on Turned Out a Punk. Dude, it is so good. When he's talking about who's the motherfucker, who's the guitarist that big leagued him? And then like him and like the dudes from Dinosaur Jr. or some shit, they're gonna like chuck this dude off the boat and they kept calling him fish bait.
Shit, I cannot remember.
That was like the greatest story ever, dude. So everyone, if you're listening to this, you know Turned Out a Punk. Go listen to the Jerry A interview, and I'll track him down and get him on here sometime too, now that we've branched out a little beyond California. The other thing about this LP is that cover is not doing them any favors.
It is
That's not. A terrible album cover. You know, like what the fuck is going on? Like, is Stonehenge on acid? So it's pretty wild. Okay, Dan, we're taking to the heartbreaker round. What Warzone song are you taking?
Well, you know what's funny is I was going to – because I've got 6 NY songs right now, right? And I was going to Stray. Well, I guess Jersey, you know, I've got Tri-State area on lock, right? And I was going to dabble down to DC, but Ben just stole my Embrace pick. So maybe I'll just keep it NY. And I think I'm going to just have to say there's a youth culture rising in front of your eyes. I'm going Together by Youth of Today off the eponymously titled compilation on Rev. This song is so fucking great. It's classic Youth of Today. It is hard, angry, tuneful, mercilessly fast at parts, and just, well, not mercilessly, but it just does everything that you want from a Youth of Today bot. Tick every box, you know, and Ray's voice on this sounds so fucking good. I got to take it because it's still on the thing. And then now I've wrapped up my, you know, NYHC, including token entry into the mix.
Well, NYHC and surrounding areas, right? Shout out Connecticut.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, they called themselves NYHC. So, yeah, I mean, I love it. And yeah, my list is just a Spotify minefield. I'm sorry about that. But there's still some bangers on my list that will be on Spotify just to convince the populace out there that this fucking hard 7-song delightful list is just there for your enjoyment.
Well, because you're so egregious, like, you know, a few of your songs aren't on Spotify, but I think you still got 7 songs on your playlist.
Yeah, you know? We plan it out, dude, that way.
All right. So this is great. Everyone loves Youth of the Day. We've talked this one a lot. We talked on the Revelation Records episode. So everyone hit that archive, that 185 archive, and listen to that. Also, Dan is referring to the playlist. What he's talking about is there is a playlist for every episode, 185milesouth.com. Click the playlist link at the top of the page. There is a playlist for every episode. Check that out. And slam, dude. What's up?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Also, Zach, what's worth telling the people when they go find that playlist on Spotify, if they click the little heart, it will then put it, all of these playlists, if you enjoy them, it'll put them into your personal library.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, and then also the other thing about doing that is we know that you liked it or you listened to it, right? I know, dude, my Spotify is so cluttered because I do a playlist for every episode, you know? So I don't know. I understand if you want to listen to it once and don't want to heart it so it doesn't like clog up their shit, but it is nice when you do because then we know you liked it, right? So that's sick. Good call, Dan. And my number 7 heartbreak round. Dude, I don't want to get strung up when I go back to NARD, you know? So I am taking, or Santa Barbara for that matter, I'm taking RKL. The song I think the best song on this record on Rock and Roll Nightmare is the song Meltdown. It's just like really got it all. Yeah, dude. It's like the drumming is wild. The riffing is wild. There's a solo, you know, and it all comes in at under a minute. But I'm going to take the first song on the record, Scab on My Brain. It's probably the most representative of this record. So, yeah, everyone's got to check out RKL. This LP, Rock and Roll Nightmare, one of the great punk LPs of 87. Nardcore represent. And I am taking, yeah, Scab on My Brain over Meltdown. But check out this whole record. It's another one where I think the record itself is better than, like, the standout tracks. It's best as a sum of all pieces. But, and I've said that the same way that the Final Conflict LP is, right? But they are totally opposite in the way that RKL is all over the place. This LP is wild. You have no idea what they're going to do from one song to the next, where the Final Conflict is like, they're just throwing fastballs all day straight over the fucking, right over the middle of the plate. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, this rules. It's wild. No Effects, Lagwagon, they don't exist without this record. There's like no doubt. So many of like the tricks those bands did come straight off this. But that's that. Ben, you got a take on this?
I'm a bigger fan of the first album, but I've, you know, I was in a band with Jeff Capra for years, and he's a Santa Barbara guitarist, and he was like, Santa Barbara punk rock guitarists. There's like a high bar for them. He has this thing about like, we have to be good because look who set the bar, RKL. So definitely an extremely important band, and like unreal how talented they were.
Yeah. This and Suffer come in the next year. That's just your blueprint for all the way up till 1996 on that doodle-at-that vibe, you know?
Yeah, and this is just like a record for shredders. Honestly, like,
yeah,
it is almost too wild for me sometimes. I like to listen to it again when I drive just because it really, like, it keeps your mind awake, you know? But it's a hard record to settle into, I think, unless you are a guitar shredder. If you're a shredder, or if you're a shredder on the drums too, right? Like, these dudes are just playing at the next level. It is absolutely wild. Clevo, did anyone get into the first or second RKL LP on the East Coast?
I mean, I can't speak for the whole East Coast, but I definitely, I missed the bus on this one. And also I can't speak for the Midwest. You know, in 1987, I definitely was not hearing RKL. This is something that was not on my radar. I don't know if I've ever heard it, so I will definitely check it out on the playlist.
Yeah, dude. It's on Spotify. You can check out the track on the playlist. If you dig it, listen to that whole record. Ben, let's go to you. Heartbreaker Round, you're number 7.
All right. Because no one else has picked this band. Well, even if someone else picked this band, I'd probably still pick this song. John Stab passed away from cancer a couple of years ago. He was the singer of Government Issue. And a lot of people involved in the DC scene think of like the twin towers of that scene as being Ian MacKay and John Stab. Like they were the dudes. And Government Issue is one of these bands that just put out, kind of like Naked Ray Gun, they put out lots of records over about a 10-year span of time. And I don't think they ever fell off. They evolved in a way that wasn't corny. I think their later stuff is more rock sounding. Their earlier stuff is more just blazing fast hardcore. Always a sense of humor. Their record from 87 is called You. I think it's their best sounding record. And the first song off it is Jaded Eyes, which I'm going to pick. I can't say enough about this. Like, I think it's sort of like what you're saying about Poison Idea, how bands that put out a lot of records, some of it gets lost in the sauce. You know, if you had only put out one great record, probably more people would own that than if you put out, you know, 5 great records or 6 or very good records. So it took, I think I didn't get into this until I was in my 20s. And a lot of people stop at that first 7-inch because it's on, you know, it's the only one on Discord, but it's certainly not the best record of theirs. Definitely a band to check out. It's sort of annoying how if you look on Spotify, they're like John Stab, well, when he was alive, obviously when he was alive, decided to put out 1,000 live recordings all up on Spotify. So you have to sift through all these live recordings. And then there's like the Complete History Volume 1 and 2 that Dr. Strange put out, and those compile their actual studio recordings. So it's sort of like you got to really sift through it to get to, you know, the individual albums. This one's on Volume 2, whatever. I mean, it's going to be on the playlist, but this is their second to last record. And this is the first one with Jay Robbins on bass and Pete Moffitt on drums. And I think of the great rhythm sections of punk as being the last lineup of the Descendants, the original lineup of Bad Brains, and then this lineup of Government Issue. Those would be the top 3 rhythm sections in punk. So just impeccable playing, great songwriting, lots of emotional depth to this music.
Yeah, I love, this is one of my favorite things about your takes on the 80s, is that you take the whole Government Issue ride. I love that. So I'm the same way with a bunch of bands, but yeah, this one is like, I like everything I hear, but they end up in like that stack with like Husker Du and shit that I'm going to get into one day, you know? Dan, what's your take on this? If you have one.
Yeah, this is a great pick. And like Ben says, the first 7-inch, it actually is my favorite, but it's not representative of the entire sound of the band. So it is really good to see. And it's a knock on probably why they didn't. I think we've talked about that on the DC starter kit, is that every record is an evolution and a move on. So you end up like ditching half the fans you had on that, and then you try and pick up a few new ones, but it's a diminishing return as you evolve as a band within hardcore and punk, because people generally fall in love with the first or two things. And if you end up changing a lot, you don't end up taking everyone with you, but you know, a few diehards like Ben.
You saying the government issue only had a few fans by 85? By 87?
Not saying that, like, per se, but I'm just saying the people that are diehard for the 7-inch aren't going all the way to the end, although some of them are. You know, of course, there's some people that go the whole way, but I'm just saying it's a diminishing return. It's like you're picking up new fans with each release, but maybe you're leaving some behind.
For sure. Okay, Clevo, let's go to you for your Heartbreaker round, pick number 7.
So a lot of stuff to pick from, but I'm going to go weird just because I'd like to get them on the list. But I'm going to go with Squirrel Bait, and I'm going to take the song Tape from California to go super weird. So Squirrel Bait was from Kentucky. One of their members went on to be in Slint after this. But when they were young, they put out two records, put out a couple demos. They put out a 12-inch and they put out an LP. It's sort of that like alternative punk. It's fast. This song, Tape from California, though, is actually a cover of a folk song by Phil Oakes. But if you hear this compared to the original, they don't sound anything alike. It's a little raging, and it's just something that it's a band that I got turned on to by my friend Dave Murphy. And we talk about it quite a bit, you know, picked up the records, and it's just something that I'd like to give some shine to that came out in 1987 and hopefully turn some people onto it.
That rules. Ben, you're a fan of this band, aren't you?
Yeah, I am. Discogs says this record, this is Skag Heaven, right? This came out in 86.
Yeah.
Or, okay. Anyway.
Ooh. I have it listed as 87, but I will take something else.
No, we'll allow it, dude. Don't let Ben line.
No, actually, you know what? Discogs has it as 87, and I have it in my iTunes as 80. Discogs has it as 86, and I have it in my iTunes as 87.
You're probably right, and they're probably wrong.
Well, every version of this says 86 in Discogs.
Well, I think because
Super 7 be without a little controversy? We're keeping it because we're over 2 hours. Dan, what are your honorable mentions?
All right. Well, this is, you know, like we said, it was a tougher year, like, to get a lot of consensus. But, you know, I'm just going to give a few honorable mentions. Criminal Minded, Boogie Down Productions, Yo Bum Rush the Show, Public Enemy, Bigger and Deafer, LL Cool J, Paid in Full, Eric B and Rakim. I'm out.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah, there's lots of podcasts that talk about hip hop. There's not a lot that talk about hardcore, so whatever. Okay.
We spent 2 hours on it.
Yeah, well. Let's see here. Yeah, I got no honorables. The Together Comp, right? Together Comp and the Straight Ahead. But I tried to keep everything on Spotify, so this is a weird year, dude. Not everything is on streaming for sure. Ben, let's go to you, honorable mentions.
Honorable mentions, Blast Sometimes, Warzone in the Mirror, Soul Side, I Find the Other Side, Screeching Weasel, Murder in the Brady House, Rites of Spring, All Through a Life, Scream, Mineshaft Burning, Ignition, Anger Means, Swizz, Lie, Circle Jerks, Beat Me Senseless, Shudder to Think, Abysmal Yellow Popcorn Wall, Henry Rollins, Black and White, Ramones, I Wanna Live, The Replacements, Valentine, The Gun Club, Bill Bailey.
Clevo, honorable mentions.
Well, first off, if Ignition came out this year, I'm really pissed that I didn't get on my list. But Agnostic Front, Liberty and Justice, the song Anthem, Swizz, the first 7-inch, Bold off the Together Comp, Suicidal Tendencies, For Nostalgic Reasons, Possessed to Skate, also for nostalgic reasons, Circle Jerks, Casualty Vampires, the band R.I.P. from Spain with Policia No, Drunk Engines, talk about skate rock, Frontside Grind, Cryptic Slaughter, Money Talks LP, the song Understand off of the Verbal Salt Trial LP, COC Technocracy, Neurosis, Pain of Mind, Carnival Retaliation, Totalitar put out a record that I'm not going to try to pronounce their name, Sonic Youth Sister, Big Black, Songs About Fucking, Han Animal Machine, Napalm Death Scum, specifically the song You Suffer, and favorite of the podcast, Red Hot Chili Peppers, Uplift Mofo Party Plan, motherfuckers.
That's somewhere to learn. That's somewhere to land and end it on. Dan, where can the people find you?
At Southport Instagrammer on Instagram.
Ben, where can the people find you?
Instagram at Cold Chillin Book.
Clevo, where can the people find you?
Instagram at Clevo.
All right, everyone, the best way to get in touch with me, 185milessouth@gmail.com. I respond to everything. You can also check out 185milessouth on Gmail, excuse me, on Instagram, on Twitter, and no guarantees there. The DMs get a little wonky. And then also, I'm Zach Retaliate on Instagram. And you know, Retaliate is the best on Instagram. Our last LP, 4, just came out on CD, literally for Ben Edge and Ryan Fredette, but it's there for you. So order that shit, help us out, and check it out. It is a record I'm super proud of. So you listen to me every week on this talking about other bands. I put my money where my mouth is, and I lay down dope hardcore. So check out the LP Retaliate 4. It's on streaming. It's now on CD. It's on vinyl. Get at indecisionrecords.com and handle business. If you order from revhq.com because you're ordering a bunch of shit, it's there too. So you know what's up. Handle business. And we'll talk to you next week. I believe next week is episode 185. So we should also mention after episode 185, we are changing the schedule of the podcast. We are going to every other week. So that's that. But we're having a party episode next week. Episode 185. It's going to be fun. And we will talk all the details then. All right, everyone. We'll talk to you next Monday.